you're in New Mexico, you can put chili on just about everything. Michael Swickard here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. We're sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our award-winning Hatch Green and Red Chili, boy, is it good. It's from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. Glad you could join me today for a podcast about the history and culture of New Mexico with an emphasis on agriculture, since at least three times a day I use agriculture. I don't always think about myself using agriculture. Mostly I think it's time for breakfast, it's time for lunch, or it's time for dinner, or maybe it's time for a fresh chili snack in between one of those meals. While I like almost every agricultural product, two of my favorite areas of products are beef and chili. I often combine the two either in lots of chili on beef or beef with lots of chili on it. Now let's talk about chili. There's a saying, variety in Hatch Valley chili is the spice of life. I think that's true. It used to be a long time ago, you had green chili, you had red chili, but not really any choice other than green or red in whatever they had. And as for how taste hot it was the luck of the draw to see if you were disappointed because the chili, well, it didn't have much kick, or on the other side, it absolutely burnt you down. You were sweating, drinking liquids, trying to find some dairy products. But all that changed in the last 110 years with the research into the chili pepper plants at New Mexico State University and the college that it was before it became New Mexico State University. That was what the researcher was doing. Now, the first thing they did was try to make the chili peppers less hot, since they could eat the hot chili, but people coming here would go, "Whoa, I can't eat that." But then they also started taking the flavor of one variety and blending it with another. Year after year, thousands, and I do mean thousands, of chili pepper plants have been studied each year, and the usefulness of some varieties have been blended with other varieties that have other useful attributes. Of course, I must say that part of the research is so that large acreage chili pepper plant farmers can get the most efficiency and effectiveness of their acreage, along with being able to ship their products to market at the time that the markets are ready for the crops. Now, I say this a lot. This really is very true. None of this happens by accident. In our area of New Mexico, certainly also in Mexico and South America, the use of chili and chili spice is like salt and pepper anywhere else. We add it to what we're eating almost as a superstitious action. And like things superstitious, we often cannot actually tell how much is in our stews and burritos exactly. But don't get me wrong. Now, we know when there isn't any chili in what we're trying to eat. And when you've gotten used to the great kick of chili, without it, the food tastes bland and uninspiring. When you're just getting started to eat Hatch Valley red or green chili, a small amount will do you fine, and the mild is best. Then you'll find that with mild chili, after a while, well, it just isn't enough. There isn't enough kick in it, so you hold your breath. And you say, "I'll order the medium," but I'm here to tell you, because I've been there, it works out fine. People say to me, "Have you eaten chili all your life?" And I go, "Not yet." Just so you know, there is a New Mexico certified chili. It's a trademark certification. That way you know you're getting the real New Mexico thing. Some out-of-state companies try to sell their chili in our state as if it was grown in New Mexico. When you pick up chili, look for that New Mexico certified seal. It's a trademark seal. If it's not there, ask where you are about it. New Mexico businesses want to support New Mexico chili, and I'm sure they will thank you for asking. Like I like to say, buy New Mexico chili. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. We're sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. You can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. Let's do a little New Mexico history. Boy, I like history. In 1909, 1909, something happened in southern New Mexico that most everyone's attention was on. A sitting president of the United States was coming to see southern New Mexico. Came suddenly. It wasn't actually expected. The newspapers were full of articles about this president, William Howard Taft, who, it was said, was leaning towards signing the legislation so that the territory of New Mexico could become a state. At the time, there were 46 states in the Union, and New Mexico was working toward being 47th. I won't keep you in suspense. After President Taft visited in 1909, then all the things that had to happen, including his signature on some stuff and a constitutional convention in Albuquerque and a vote taken by the citizens of New Mexico, yes, and we became a state. Southern New Mexico got to see the president, and that someone in the presidential party, I'm not sure when or where, was not good at American geography. What was supposed to be was he was on his way back from the West Coast, was going to go through Albuquerque and then up to Colorado and out to Chicago and eventually to Washington, D.C. The presidential handlers realized when they got to Lordsburg, they were on the wrong train tracks. And so they telegraphed ahead to Rincon, New Mexico, to find a train and have it ready to take President Taft to Albuquerque. At that point, the Mesilla Valley was alerted that the first sitting president to travel in New Mexico was nearby, and hundreds of well-wishers started for Rincon, which is about 30 miles north of Las Cruces. They had their horses and wagons, and I think there was a train that went up. A telegram was sent to Deming, New Mexico, asking those people quietly, they sent that they should take their time within time limits as they rewater and refill the presidential train. Those were steam engines back then. Evidently, President Taft enjoyed some time walking around Deming, and when the train made it to Rincon, 30 miles north of Las Cruces, there was a large crowd to meet and greet him. He was only supposed to stay about 10 minutes, but that's when the magic really happened. The president stepped out onto the station platform and said how nice it was to be in New Mexico. He was given a large basket of fruit that was grown in the Mesilla Valley. That was about all the time they intended. But what he did, he took that basket and his feelings about this, returned to Washington and started the ball rolling on New Mexico and Arizona statehood. The big basket of Mesilla Valley fruit, probably did it because they added some chili peppers, but I don't have that in anything written. New Mexico became the 47th state, followed 6 weeks later by Arizona. Now, there was one quiet moment in the middle of all this, and it was noted by a couple of people. Taft had been appointed the governor of the Philippines following the Spanish-American War. He and his wife Nellie spent a couple years in the Philippines, so he was conversant with Spanish. And there on the platform in Rincon, he spoke in both English and Spanish. And what I saw said his accent was just right, speaking Spanish from his days in the Philippines. It kind of surprised people here because they didn't expect the president to be conversant in Spanish. And that, my friends, is how, after 62 years of trying to become a state, the territory of New Mexico finally moved from being a territory to becoming the 47th state in the Union. Michael Swickert here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company. Hit subscribe if you want to automatically get these podcasts. Speaking of eating green or red chili peppers, that's something I really like. It's a food here in New Mexico. We put it on almost any of the foods we have. The only one I can think we haven't tried yet is Jell-O. I mentioned that the other day, and I said I was going to try it. Still haven't. I got some green Jell-O, as long as you're going to do green chili, and I got some carrots, and I'll try that in the next couple of days. Let you know how it is. I bet it will still be good. And if I was to guess the first uses of chili years ago, it was on the cattle drives where they had ground red chili. It could be carried without spoiling, and they could add it to the dried beans that they carried with them that they would cook, and it would make a pretty nice dish with a kick. I've read it was something that after chewing dust all day with the cows, the cowboys really liked it. It's probably also true that the cattle roundups were had in the fall of the year all over the Southwest, and I think the red chili for the beans probably was really appreciated, since it took a week or two to round up the cattle, separate them into individual herds, and then take them to shipping. And again, the use of red chili powder in beans was highly praised by the cowboys. I was asked, is green chili a food, a condiment, a spice, a trade good, or a medicine? Well, it's more than that. It's all those things. I was at a friend's house, and they had enchiladas. Boy, I like it when that happens. I feel pretty glad to be there. And they had enchiladas called Grandma's Best Day. It represented something handed down through actually several grandmas in that family. For them, it was a bit of sacred history, and the taste had to be exactly right or everyone was going to be grumpy. When I was there, the smiles told me the recipe was correct. So the reason I mention that is when you talk about the research that the chili researchers must do for the chili peppers, they are concerned with pests and chili problems, but they also have to get the taste of each individual chili pepper, such as Big Jim or Sandia or New Max 6-4 or Machete. They have to get it exactly right so that years later, when you're still using that chili to make grandma's recipe, that it still has the same taste. And it's no easy task. Some chili has an extra word in it, such as it's been improved, but it's been reworked to restore the original taste. Over chili generations, the flavor or the heat can change in one way or the other, and so every year the researchers work hard at keeping those heritage flavors correct. These podcasts are sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company. They have a great website showing all their Hatch Valley chilies available in 16-ounce jars, and they also have powders and stuff. You can go to freshchilico.com, freshchilico.com. They have lots of chili-related products, spices, and rubs. They also have, and this is what's important, they have a cooking area with some recipes they've created, but they also have a large Facebook group that shares their chili recipes. Now, that's something to really enjoy. With over 28,000 members, the Fresh Chili Cooking Facebook group, it's a closed group. You have to ask, and they'll let you in. I've even added a tasty treat at a recipe myself. You have to look for it. I was going to add some more, but you know, something odd happens. I get looking at the different things, and I was going to add something, and I just said, no, I got to try this. I was thinking of a podcast stew, a podcast Hatch Valley Chili Stew, and I'll do that, and I assure you that my podcast Hatch Valley Chili Stew will have lots and lots of that tasty Hatch Valley chili in it, and it will be yum. In a previous podcast, I was talking about letting the chili farmers know what to plant. Well, there's something else you can do. You can go to the Fresh Chili Company website, freshchilico.com, and you can pre-order your 2024 jars of chili so that when it's ready for sale to the public, you already have your chili. That's what I'm certainly doing with Big Jim Red and Green Blend, because I like it so much. I only have a couple of jars left, I have to say. Well, it couldn't last forever, but I want to make sure this next year when I get mine, I'm going to get about 3 cases of this 2024 Big Jim chili, and it can then last the entire year, which is what I'm going to do with my pre-order. You can also pre-order. That's something you can do. Now, one thing that happens when people live in Las Cruces or they're visiting our little slice of paradise, they can come by the Fresh Chili Company's gift shop. It's at 1160 El Paseo Road, Suite D7A. Now, the gift shop is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can come by that gift shop and see lots of stuff. They got the jars of chili there. They have honey. They've got all sorts of spices and rubs. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, brought to you by the Fresh Chili Company. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories about New Mexico for you with these podcasts. If you have something or someone you want to talk about, you'd like me to talk about, write to me, michael@freshchilico.com, michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. And oh yes, eat plenty of that good Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili is good, more is better, as long as it's Hatch Valley chili. Bye for now.